underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they need the color after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mama.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
And we're back, and we're gonna talk about a documentary we watched called Rewind This. Dana, what do you think about that documentary?
It was basically the same footage as
gesture tracking.
I don't remember which one came first.
Yeah, well, I know that the gesture tracking became available, and Rewind This just became available. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I was watching. I was like, I know I've seen this footage before, so
I don't either. Know that it's the same. Any new footage?
I think it's the same people. And they're saying the same shit, so I don't think it's the same exact footage.
Oh.
But it is exactly pretty much the same kind of vibe and everything.
So if you've seen one, you probably don't need to see the other.
No, not really, but unless you're super into VHS and you want to see a bunch of hipsters.
Yeah, that guy with the fro.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stupid hipsters.
And they got the Never Forget tattoos.
Yeah, they got tattoos of VHS on their bodies. I don't know. I would not do that.
Not that.
Maybe I'd put a melted one on my arm and say,
I want to forget.
No, or something like when they used to. Didn't your video store have a melted one in there to say what would happen if you left it in your car?
I don't ever remember that in any.
Yeah, they
of
did.
My
they did stores. In ours. And like, yeah, guess what? Yeah, you're gonna buy it.
I saw those stickers on there that would tell you, do not leave in a hot car, or don't, you know.
And I mean, I was around for the genesis of VHS for the most part. I think 79 or 80, they rented you had to put like a $600 check down as collateral to rent one. And I watched Superman, Alien, and Star Trek the Motion Picture.
My family was...
Star Wars. Did I say that? Star Wars. So, I mean, I watched all these for the first time in, like, you know, a weekend or so. And it was, you know, of course, we couldn't buy one because they're so expensive. And then, of course, I think within a year or so, they went down enough so we could get one.
When you put this deposit down, did you get that back when you brought it back?
And you had to pay whatever the rental charge was, but you got the check back. They just held the check as in case you didn't. You took off, well, they could theoretically take the check and cash
that's
it.
That's pretty much how much those things were at that time.
So, you know, we did a lot of things. We rented a satellite dish, which I never heard anybody else doing. Somebody
but your family was more, or at least your dad maybe, was more techno. He wanted to get the new technology. And my dad would be like, you want me to pay or give you a check for this much? He'd be like, hell no, I ain't doing that. So my family was quite a bit behind the VCR era. We didn't get a VCR probably until the middle to late 80s.
Yeah, I was getting ready to buy a top loader from this guy in the Army, which I wish I had of now, because probably those are like the heavy duty ones that would last for almost ever. But I was like, man, that's old. That ain't worth it.
Well, our Emerson front loader lasted forever, but then when it finally tore up and we had to get another one, they never lasted. You were lucky if they lasted a year.
Yeah.
Before they played out. They just started making them so cheap.
Yeah, and I still got one that works halfway decent. I used to have two. Of course, you need two for dubbing.
Which we weren't supposed to do.
And I used to dub and you know, make mixtapes on VHS and stuff.
Used to dub stuff until we figured out.
Well, I used to dub it so it would keep on repeating the same, like some person would say the same shit over and over. And it was hilarious, but
we copied tapes, I guess you would say.
And they were talking about a cool thing where I've done it to my own tapes where you've used these tapes over and over again. So, like, you probably, if you still have them, you probably, like, record a movie you want to keep.
And you've got all these endings of movies on the end of the
tape. After that movie goes over, you got all this shit left over probably. And I, like, got some old wrestling nitros and like, some other shit I'll just, like, it'll just, like, pop up.
My Aunt Sandy used to tape a lot of stuff, and she would let me borrow her VHS tapes, and I'd catch the end of a movie, and I'd be like, that looks awesome. And some of them I could figure out what they were, and others I never figured out what they were.
And I actually, you know, speaking of VHS, I actually got into one of that craze a little bit, but not much. I actually went out and bought VHSs in the last 5 years, but I haven't bought any in a long time. I think that spurt only lasted maybe a few months.
Probably the last VHS I got was that House of the Devil.
But you know, as far as me actually collecting them or something like that, I'm just not into that.
Well, there was this one chick.
Unless it's not available, but still, if it wasn't available, I would burn it. I would convert it into a DVD just because. That, like they were saying, people who have these VHS collections, right now, if you got some in the mid-80s, right now those things are getting ready to just, you know, just not be able to be played anymore. And within the next 10 years, they ain't gonna play at all. So, you know, I mean, they're nice collectibles if you like that, but as far as I'm actually watching them, unless you convert them to digital, they're not going to be watchable.
Yeah, they're not going to last. They're either going to break or the tape's going to disintegrate.
I had a tape that I'd been using. It got mold in it. It was in my basement, but it wasn't it wasn't exactly in a water pool or anything. It was on a wall.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, and I bet there was a dampness on that wall.
Probably.
See, that happened at Mom and Dad's to some of my records. The album covers, not the records themselves, but the album covers got molded just because they were pushed back against a wall that got moisture.
Yeah, but...
But let's talk about that chick that was, like, stacking her VHS up.
She was sorting them based on the color of the box, because there's a lot of... She had a lot of boxes that were, like, greenish.
Uh-huh.
And a lot that
she
were red,
pull
and
them out and
yeah.
Tell you
but she was she was stacking them like they were flat, you know, flat.
Instead of setting them up,
and then
right
you
on
know,
the
and you you had the top of the VHS cover was pointed out.
I was always told you don't want to stack or DVDs like that.
No, I think you're supposed to do them on the side or stand them up. But you know, one of the. Did I take you to Great Escape when they had still had all the VHS in the back? They had like a ton.
I was thinking we saw it.
Yeah, it was all generic shit, like Top Gun stuff. Nobody wanted that fucking. And they were like selling that shit for a quarter, and I got Dana a movie called Lisa for a quarter.
Yeah, well, I lost my copy.
Oh.
And then I found my copy, but I kept the copy that.
So you got two copies?
I think maybe I left the one with Mom and I kept the one that you gave.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, so, I mean, as far as wanting to see that, it's okay, but a lot of that, they, you know, of course, I don't know, they talked to a lot of different people, Roy Frumkey's.
Didn't they talk to Don May?
Don May Jr., yes. They talked to a lot of people dealing with Ain't It Cool News, and then people based in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. And I think they actually showed... And they showed the draft house that we went to, the Ritz.
Yeah.
So, there's some, you know, it's...
Because when we see that, Steve and I say, well, we know those stairs. And we
yeah, because I had to go down those stairs like a mother, because I was drinking this beer, and I had to they had to go down the stairs to get to the bathroom. And it's not easy getting up in there, because you can't.
Uh-uh.
You actually have to freaking... they have a little table bench in front of you. I had to go under the bench and get out, because... directly behind your seat is another bench for people to eat off of. So it's,
yeah.
But
thankfully I didn't have to leave.
Yeah. Well, we was drinking machete margaritas, and then I was drinking this pecan beer, which was awful. It was too heavy for me.
Well, like I said, not as bad as that thing you got at the, one bourbon bar or wherever.
Yeah. That was, it was a pecan pie. Martini,
and it actually
or,
had pecans.
Yeah,
in it.
That was made, and it tasted like, I don't know, like lighter fluid would taste.
And me and Steve were both trying to, you know,
get our money worth out of it, but you couldn't.
We couldn't. We finally just had to. Oh, we're gonna go to the concert now. We give up.
Yeah, it's gross. I ain't drinking no more.
And that place really, you know, I hate to talk bad about restaurants here in Louisville, but it was, to me, it was just artsy-fartsy, and it just didn't really have a lot of food.
And plus it was still a little chilly outside, and then this is actually below the street line, so it was not, you know, you're just sitting there not trying to chill, you know, get chilled.
And a wind will blow through.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, that's one place we'd probably never go again anyway, because it wasn't that
great. We were
great.
Desperate for something.
Yeah, because it was too crowded, but... that brings us to the day, and I tried to watch, or I did watch most of the new Donnie Yen movie, Iceman.
That was pretty interesting what I saw of it.
I mean, obviously it was meant for 3D, but...
And it had some humor in it, because somebody kept passing gas in
it. Well, it was a comedy, action comedy, really, because, I mean, but apparently he was back in the Ming Dynasty... And him and his guys, he got accused of treason, and he was fighting with them, and then the big avalanche came, and then, I guess, froze them. And at the beginning of the movie, they're in these canisters. One of them opens up, and then Donnie Yen comes out, and he gets...
And he pees.
Yeah, he pees like a water hose.
Or a fire hydrant.
Yeah, so, and then he gets hooked up with this chick, this goes on. He's looking for this wheel of time to go. I guess he's going to try to go back and stop his massacre of his village and all this stuff. But it's okay. It's got a lot of action and pretty good stunts and all kinds of stuff. It does leave you open for a sequel at the end, which I don't know why, but you know, if they want to do that, they can. And it, so the ending's not that satisfying to me, but...
Well, the ending was a little flat.
I mean, it had an ending, and then it went for this extra little point. So, I don't know what they're thinking, but you never know. It may be a sequel, I don't know. And then I got some DVDs in. I got this one, Night of the Howling Beast.
Well, Paul Nash...
Yeah, it's basically the American International cut of Werewolf versus the Yeti or something.
And Paul Nashie at one time was big into these werewolf movies.
Well, I mean, that's how he got famous.
Mm-hmm. That's how he made his living, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he made other movies, but this is his big that's his big claim to fame. And there was a time where I didn't know nothing about Paul Nashie because, you know, and then happened to come across one of the channels up here in Louisville about 10 years ago. They were like on the public access channel, and they were showing one of those movies, and I was like, man, this is fucking cool. And then I, you know, looked into it, and it's like, this dude's played the wolfman or whatever in, like, dozens of movies. And then I've been trying to catch him and watch him, and I've watched, like, almost, I would say close to all of them that are available.
But I have a question for everybody, and I asked Steve this, because he's seen a lot of Paul Naschy films. Why is Paul Naschy so sexy?
Because he writes these movies and directs them.
Oh, so he writes them. Sexy.
Well, he's the leading man, so he's a leading man's going to get the women.
He at one point we didn't realize that there were two women on him until.
And I think this one got this cut has a lot of extra nudity and stuff in it. So
a lot of boobies.
Yeah, and asses. And Spanish ass.
And a little bit
culos. So it's Spanish, so it's got a lot of culos in it.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of full frontal nudity, not much, but
yeah,
there were some.
So,
not a Paul Naschy, though.
No, thank goodness. But anyway, there's a good documentary about Paul Naschy called The Man Who Saw Frankenstein Cry. Huh. Oh, it's really good. And there's also a giant book, which is way too expensive for me. It's almost like... I mean, it's under $100, I think, but I'm not a... I can't...
Is it big, one of those big coffee tables?
Yeah, well, kind of. But maybe I can get a PDF of it or something. I don't know. E-book. But,
maybe.
And I think tonight I'm going to show Dana the Omen ripoff of Holocaust 2000, which stars Kirk Douglas. And this is like an Italian movie... And made in '77, I think. And it was first time I saw this was actually on a CBS Saturday movie, you know. So they showed it.
Oh my gosh!
And then they showed it on late night movies, cut down to like 90 minutes from then on. And it was like cool. I saw Nightmare City was on late night movies. I mean, Saturday night movies, they used to show crazy shit like Phantasm was on CBS. Holocaust 2000 was on CBS. I mean, there was like...
You got to watch all the cool stuff.
Well, you get to see...
I thought Deadly Friend was cool when I caught it on Channel 7.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm an old man, so I've seen some shit. So after that, we're probably... I'm not going to do much more. But
Steve will be watching the inside of his eyelids.
Well, I got to get ready for Days of the Dead. We're going to... meet Kevin Tenney tomorrow, which will be fun.
Linnea Quigley.
Yeah, so, and then who knows what else we'll get into, but hopefully it'll be
we're going to eat somewhere.
Yeah.
I got to eat.
But we're going to have hopefully it won't be the same old shit that we see every convention, but we'll have to take
You mean as far as...
vendors and... I know it will be, but I'm just trying to...
I'm afraid the vendors will
which
be.
Which is fine, because that way I don't have to spend no money. Because, I mean, I'm not going to get a damn teddy bear dipped in wax. Dana will.
That's a hit at me. Steve's taking shots at me.
I'm going to take a shot at her here after we get off.
I cannot find, though. I wish those ladies would come back that were at the Horror Hound or wherever they were that time. I don't know. Ladies, if you hear this, I don't remember what the name of your company was, but they had the best. Bears, they were scented wax bears.
Okay.
And I really wanted one. I should have got one then because I ain't seen those ladies
again. So, we're going to see the seven-headed dragon, Dana, in Holocaust 2000.
There's going to be a seven-headed dragon? It's the... Steve's hinting there's going to be a seven-headed dragon.
Holocaust 2000, next on TwoAgainst.com.
TwoAgainst.com. We don't even have a .com.
Oh. I'll work on that. We'll be back.
It's so scary. We dare you to see The Monsters Crash the Pajama Party, the first movie ever filmed in horror vision, Hollywood's latest miracle. You'll scream as fiendish movie monsters actually become alive, then crash right out of the screen, go into the audience, and carry screaming girls from their seats right back into the picture to become part of the movie. We warn you, horror vision is not 3D. The movie monsters become real flesh and blood. Be sure to see The Monsters Crash the Pajama Party in horror vision and color.
beast will be cast down in brimstone.
And no, that's not exactly. But the quote at the end of Holocaust 2000, was that the name of the movie, right?
A.K.A. The Chosen.
Oh, okay. I don't know which of the...
From 1977, I believe, with Kurt Russell. Kurt Douglas. And he's running... he wants to build a nuclear power plant
out in the middle of
the desert somewhere, and he they're protesting him stuff, and his wife
gets killed. The environmentalists are
protesting. His wife gets killed
by this Arab. He looks like an Arab guy or something. I don't know what he is. Is that? Exactly. But.
And then they soon to learn that this will bring upon the apocalypse, and then...
And his son is the Antichrist.
He just spoiled the movie then.
No, I didn't. If you can't figure that out, then...
But it was made by some Italians.
Those crazy Italians.
So, I mean, I don't know. I told Dana that I actually saw it on TV, network television, back in the early 80s.
But you didn't see all them boobies.
No, they had a
and
few.
And you didn't see naked Kirk Douglas running all over the place.
You know that him and his Michael Douglas show his ass in Basic Instinct. It's basically the same ass.
Well, he showed his ass in Fatal Attraction, too.
That's what I meant to say, didn't I? Oh, yeah.
I think he did in both. He probably did in both of them.
But
I'll have to go back and watch Basic.
I was telling Dana, it's kind of like, we're gonna, talking to, they're getting ready to do the movie, we're talking to Kurt Douglas, and go like, we're going to have you naked running through the desert.
And like, he there's, said, hell yeah.
And there is a penis, I can't tell if it's a, it's not really, it's a stunt double doing the running, or if it is.
A stunt penis?
I don't know.
No, Kurt Douglas said, it's all mine. It's all mine.
But yeah, it was pretty. And then, of course, at the end of it, they culled some of the a VHS copy because of the footage doesn't exist, or it's not definitely been restored. It's just like a slightly
it's
different ending.
It's hard to see.
Because on the TV, they ended with just them after he had the holding the baby, and that was it. And then this one, they still don't do it right because.
What do you mean they don't do it right?
They don't really. It's just almost like they didn't film the ending. They just kind of, they culled it together. So,
I don't know. I think they were trying to follow with having this the ending that we saw. I think they were trying to follow a biblical trail.
Well, he did some crazy movies. He did this, and he did The Fury with Brian De Palma around the same year. I think at that point, he is, he's not
I
like...
I have a Fury poster.
I'm not saying he was a bum or anything, but a lot of the people from his era were doing these kind of crazy movies. Yeah.
Maybe they really need a paycheck at that point, and it was like...
Not saying who don't need a paycheck.
I need one.
Me too.
I need two or three.
I'll take a few. So, we're going to Days of the Dead tomorrow. I guess the main thing for me and Dana would be to meet Kevin Tenney, and you want to meet
Linnea Quigley and possibly Nancy Allen.
Yeah. And, that's kind of like where we're at right now, and I don't know. I'm just going to be walking around. Like I say, it may be just a quick trip. I mean, maybe we might go around for, a little bit, but I don't foresee us being there all day.
And we don't know for sure, or I don't know for sure if any of our crew is going
to... Kyle might be there. I think he wants to go, but I don't know if he'll be there at the same time we are.
I'd like to see Kyle.
But, anyway.
Kyle's my Evil Dead loving buddy, so.
Yeah. So, next time we'll be back and we'll probably talk about our experiences at Days of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
So, there.
The end for now.
To be continued.
Is Steve going to do live stuff from Days of the Dead?
I doubt it. If it is, you'll
he
hear
might
it.
Video. He might video.
Yeah, I'll video some stuff. Throw it on.
And I'll try not to make Steve blur.
Yeah, don't.
Blur me out of the video.
Don't blur you.
Depends on how I look tomorrow.
So, we'll be back with Days of the Dead.
Bye.
Bye. Scream with the devil. Go wild with the witch. Now, twice the terror in one double shock show. First, the most astounding downpour of horror ever seen, The Devil's Reign, starring William Shatner and John Travolta in his most exciting film. From the creators of Planet of the Apes, heaven help us all, When the Devil's Reign. Plus, on the same show, the girl with the powers of the super unnatural, the Virgin Witch. She'll take you on and turn you on. The witching hour is here. The Virgin Witch. See two double shockers from Joseph Brenner releasing. The Devil's Reign plus The Virgin Witch. Together, they'll leave you gasping. This program, rated R.
This place is cursed.
We're back just before the 4th of July and watched a few movies over this last week.
And I can't remember one of them. So.
Well, I saw the new Transformers movie.
Oh, well, forget that.
I mean, people said it was bad and brainless, but, you know, so of most of the others. Mm-hmm. What I would say is it's too long. 2.5 hours is not needed in this kind of movie, especially when you're spending all this money on special effects. And so if you make it down to 90, then you're probably going to save $20 million.
Well, I will say about the 2.5 hour thing, I don't think any movie made nowadays needs to be 2.5 hours long. Unless it's something with historical value that warrants a 2.5 hour. They have comedies that are 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, you can. That's super hard to make a comedy.
That's overkill.
Yeah. I mean, it's about the same as the others. I wouldn't say it's probably, for me, I guess the first one's okay. The second one's horrible. The third one I kind of like a lot. I have it on Blu-ray. I don't know why, but it's just visually, it's just really good. I fast forward through all the Shia LaBeouf shit. And then the fourth one is kind of just behind the third one. You know, you got Mark Wahlberg and his hot daughter. And
wait a minute, I didn't think she was hot, Steve.
Yeah, she's kind of hot.
Steve's going to twist the dog's ear off.
Yeah.
She's looking at him.
But, you know. And we watched a high-def version of Final Exam.
Oh, we did do that, yeah.
So, and that's coming out, you know, and sometime soon on Blu-ray. And then if they use this transfer, then it's going to be, you know, people who like that movie.
It's going to look really good because what I was telling Steve, there were scenes on even the DVD release that were still really, really dark. And they weren't dark on this HD.
Yeah, you could see tons of detail. The colors really popped. So it's, you know, that'll be something that somebody, if you
and
like
I
that movie.
I will defend Final Exam. I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again for somebody that hasn't.
I said it before, and I'll say it again.
But to me, the idea of a stranger just stopping at this school and start slaughtering people is, to me, creepier than somebody with some vendetta. But, you know, remember I was telling you that, you know, the prank that the guys play on
yes.
people, they make it look like some guys come out of a van and shot students and killed them. I said, that wouldn't get made now. There's no way. With all these school shootings and college shootings, there's no way on earth that would get made right now.
So, that looked very good. And then we just finished watching called Killer Legends. It was a documentary made by the same people who made Cropsey.
Really good documentary.
Yeah, and they go back and they tie it to a couple horror movies. The first one went to the Texarkana for the town that dreaded sundown, the Phantom Killer and they went over all that and stuff, and that was really cool, because that's, and of course, I've got the Blu-ray and haven't watched it yet, so I might pop that out this weekend. Next, they kind of went over a killing that kind of tied back to Candyman, which, about a guy who had killed his kid during Halloween with
put cyanide in one of those big pixie sticks.
Right. So then on death row they called him Candyman.
And then When a Stranger Calls, I think it was probably.
And then lastly was about clowns in Chicago.
And they showed like It.
So, I mean, I would, if you like documentaries, that's definitely, I like documentaries, and then if you can tie it back to some real live cases and stuff like that, especially stuff with Town of Dread Sundown, that's very interesting to me.
The Cropsey documentary was really good, too. You need to see that.
Yeah, that's a really good one. It used to be on Netflix, and I'm pretty sure this one will end up on Netflix at some point soon. And it was made for Chillers, so probably going to be on the Chiller channel. So,
more
but
likely.
And it has the same feel as the Cropsey documentary. If you've seen that,
I think the same guy may have narrated it.
Yeah, and I like the guy. Yeah, so it's good stuff. We are gonna watch a couple things. I'm gonna try to watch Bloody Moon and Death Spa for sure.
Steve made me promise not to watch these movies until he can watch them with me, and
she's obeyed.
I obeyed. I wanted to really bad a couple of times. But
and then we're going to finally, maybe we'll watch, maybe I'll get Cannibal Holocaust. Maybe I'll give your dad the Inglourious Basterds DVD I got.
We can ask him, but the thing is about my dad, he hardly ever watches DVDs. He'll watch what's on sale. Like,
what about your brother?
He might. He might take it off your hands. He watches a lot of movies.
Okay. I mean, I don't see no use trying to sell that one or even turning it in. So, I know people are fascinated by what we'll do.
By what we may watch and what we might do.
But, yeah. And then we learned the last couple of days about when the new Blu-ray of Nightbreed's coming out. It's coming out in two packs, two different flavors. One is just the new director's cut Blu-ray and a DVD of the same, so it's a DVD combo. Mm-hmm. And then for like additional, I mean, it's like $60 or $70, $80.
Somebody said $80.
That it you get the original theatrical cut on Blu-ray and then plus the new director's cut. So.
So what do you do? If it's 80, you're paying $40 a piece.
But there's more. I think there's an extra disc of extras and stuff.
Yeah, but I still don't think it's worth $80.
I think that probably we could rent all that from Wild and Woolly.
Probably.
And then just see the shit. And then, you know, the DVD that I got from way back in the, maybe 2000 or it was really, you know, over 10 years ago, that DVD looks really, really good.
Didn't we, or did we not, what was that we watched a Blu-ray of when Candace and Crater were here?
No, that was the DVD.
I thought we watched the Blu-ray.
There is no Blu-ray.
Oh, I was under the impression we were watching Blu-ray, and that thing looked damn good.
That's what I'm saying, it looked good. And it wasn't just that plain old DVD that, you know, I watched on my big 31-inch tube television forever. We're watching some weird movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They cut somebody's throat and pulled their head off.
It's called Hotel Inferno. And it's
by the same people that did Tater City.
And Adam Chaplin, which Adam Chaplin's the best of those movies.
Well,
they use some kind of weird, the special effects are just really weird and really bloody.
Oh, and speaking of things that are coming out, this won't be till September. I like
September.
Like September 9th or something like that. Synapse is putting out the awesome, much awaited and much anticipated release on Blu-ray, A Prom Night.
And you get to see busty Jamie Lee Curtis in HD.
Somebody said she was looking really horsey in that one.
No, she looking very hot.
Well, I think that's what they meant. They mean,
horsey is hot?
I don't know. I just...
Also...
maybe because she was wearing blue jeans and maybe they think she was looking like a cowgirl or something.
Also, I saw on Facebook today that Shout Factory will be releasing Hemlock Grove Season 1.
Oh, no.
And then they showed... Eli Roth was in their offices, and they gave him all their Blu-ray releases, and he was so happy.
They gave Eli Roth all their Blu-ray releases.
And he,
are they crazy?
And he said he was really flipping out over Ninja 3, The Domination. But speaking of another movie that I bought and have not yet watched on Blu-ray.
That's right, you haven't.
But, yeah.
Oh, I can't. Don't even mention Eli Roth on this show again.
I'm looking forward to seeing Green Inferno. I don't care what nobody says.
He'll just spoil it.
Spoil it? How's he going to spoil it?
Because that time, for one thing, the time for those type of movies is coming off.
Look at her face.
If you want to watch that stuff when it was the heyday of those
yes, type Dana. Of films,
then you watch Cannibal Holocaust or you watch one of those other Campbell movies. Do not watch Eli Roth's Green Inferno.
Dana.
That will not give you a real taste, a real flavor
no.
of what those films
What that
are.
Would do to me, if I had never heard of those movies, it would make me, after I watched it, I would go look
after
seek those out.
After watching that shit, they'd probably say, I never want to see a movie that's like
Well, I mean, it's not like anybody wants to like have a party and it's not like... Cannibal Holocaust is not a feel-good movie of the year.
None of those movies are feel-good movies.
No, so, I mean...
But I just get in certain moods to watch them sometimes, and then again, I'm not in a mood to watch them.
But, I mean, we do have the new Cannibal Holocaust, and we will take a look at that.
Yeah.
Hopefully this weekend, or a long weekend.
Well, it's going to be Steve's long weekend. I have to work, unfortunately, on Saturday, so.
But anyway.
I had the day off, though.
Yeah. And we got several movies coming from Diabolik DVD. No, actually, Code Red.
Steve got me one.
Yeah, but we're going to have to wait and see because we never. He's not, I don't know. He's around. The Nightmare Blu-ray, Nightmare and Damaged Brain Blu-ray, is going to be seemingly kind of hard to get now because... He went ahead and sold a bunch of them just to get some money. And so...
Is he going to go under or what?
No, I just think he was doing it for to pay off a bill. But, you know, it's kind of shitty. But, you know, more than likely...
Was he trying to pay off how much it cost to get them transferred or...
I'm not really sure what he was trying to pay off. But, you know, it's kind of crappy when you say they're going to be on sale at so-and-so. And then you go ahead and just open them, open the store up, and then.
But that guy's notorious.
Yeah, I don't know, he's a weirdo. But, you know, he's putting out some decent stuff, and his brother.
And nothing's ever his fault.
His brother's putting out some good stuff with Scorpion. They're gonna.
His brother more sane than he is?
Yeah, but the thing is, now Scorpion's gonna sell a few titles on Code Red's store only. So, it's like real limited run, like 500. And I'm not saying I'm interested in any of them, but...
why do they always want to make this stuff so... Why does everything got to be limited?
They want a call... They want to make a sense of urgency. Yeah.
Steve, this movie's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, they beat somebody in the back of the head, and now they like... peeled back the skin, they're going to pull the skull apart, I guess.
I hope my skull don't look like that.
Well, what was all that yellow shit?
That's what you get when you drink too much Mountain Dew. It goes in your brain.
That looked like orange juice.
No, it was yellow. I hope you're...
Well, I mean...
Oh.
It looked more like orange juice than it did Mountain Dew. I don't know.
But anyway... And
okay, they looking at them glasses.
Vinegar Syndrome, who puts out a lot of vintage porn, but they still put out a lot of good stuff, too. I was telling Dana they're putting out Graduation Day on a 4K transfer.
And what did I say, Steve? I said Why? Graduation Day is a good it's a pretty decent movie, but why are they giving it a 4K transfer?
But ain't it cool that someone is? I mean, but...
yeah, I guess, and I...
But also, they're putting out, I think they're putting out Raw Force, which is the one I really...
Steve wants Raw Force really bad.
Yeah, that's a great movie, and I like to see a nice transfer. I don't have to see a 4K scan, but I just want to see it widescreen and a decent transfer. So, this is great, isn't it?
I don't think I want to see the rest of this.
It looks like a bad survival horror game.
I don't know what it is. I mean, it's not. It's called Hotel Inferno. Yeah. Are they doing that to people in the hotel?
Hell, Dana, I don't know. But we'll be back and we'll watch some shit and talk about it like we always do.
Yeah.
Happy 4th.
Thank you.
I'll get to the movie that we just finished. We watched the new Blu-ray from Gorgon Video. Gorgon Video, Death Spa.
Well, kind of. I saw a few things. Steve watched most of it.
First, the Blu-ray is pretty decent. I would say it's a 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4? That's...
The movie. The transfer.
It's got Ken Forey in a rainbow jacket.
Yeah. What the hell? Star Bodies Spa.
Is that what it was called?
Star Bodies Spa. No. Something else. But whatever. They had it in neon and then it turned into Death Spa.
So, explain this to me, Steve, because I didn't catch it. Was the spa possessed, or was somebody just killing people?
Well, let me just say this first.
Okay.
As we listen to the music.
Maybe we're going to talk about it a little bit.
It'll be going off in a second, but the spa, I mean, the gym, basically, is one of the lamest, I mean, it's just like something out of someone's nightmare. It's not a freaking... I don't know. I went to a gym one time when I was, before this, and it looked nothing like it. It had machines coming out the walls, and everything was computer controlled.
It was trying to be ahead of its time.
Well, it was trying to be, like, all crazy. I don't know. But anyway, it was very gaudy looking, and it was, like, late 80s. Pink and colors and all
those hot pink.
Not really. It's like this is really bad looking colors and stupid machines coming out of the wall. And there was no goddamn weights ever anywhere. They were like machines.
No, I saw this one chick dancing.
Yeah, well, they had a dance room or something, but anyway. They have a computer that's running everything. I don't know why the computer...
That's never a good idea to have a computer run everything.
And Ken Forey, I don't know what the hell he is. He's a trainer or what. But he came in wearing his... He's got really long, thin legs. And, like, he's wearing, like, half shorts so you get to see his calves. His big, long leg below his knees. And he's got this bulky, blue, rainbow collar jacket on. I wouldn't let him near me to help me out.
No, I'd be like, you stay on the other side of the room.
And all the women are wearing leg warmers for the most part. And
okay, and I asked you this last night. Leg warmers. But wasn't in the mood to tell me why... All the women in the 80s wore leg warmers.
Keep your legs warm. I guess that's obvious.
If you're exercising, what? Does it help you burn more fat or what?
I don't know. It's just like extra socks.
But what was weird was I think a guy was wearing them.
Well.
In this movie, so.
And to answer your question a little bit without going too far into it, it's kind of a ghost possessing somebody. Okay. Not the gym, but I mean, they control the gym.
Okay, I got you.
And there's like nudity in it within the like first couple minutes when in a sauna, and then there's more.
And Steve was like, "Ooh, boobies!"
Like really sweaty boobies. I mean, oh my god! I was like, "They're going, oh."
It didn't turn you on.
It was all right, but it's just like all that sweat. Because I mean, I get sweaty as hell at the gym, and I go into the sauna, and you're just talking about. You just, like, start pouring out water like a faucet. Because they have it, like, 120 degrees.
Well, I guess people think they'll lose more weight that way.
Well, you lose body weight, or body water weight real quick. But as far as the movie itself, there's some, I would say, semi-decent gore. And then there is some good extras on it. They got a making of. And stuff like that. So, I mean, online they want $30 for this, which is ridiculous.
Steve got it a little bit cheaper.
Well, I got it for $30 or $20 rather, but I got 3 for $20 or $40, so you know, it wasn't as bad as, you know, under $13 maybe, something like
that. I think Steve got a better deal when we went to the Days of the Dead convention.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know whenever we revisit this, but it's a decent enough transfer.
How much was it at Wild Woolly? Was it 30?
Yeah.
Or close to it?
I think it was $29.99. I thought we'd just rent it and watch it, which had been fine. But, you know, when you're at a convention, you get the craziness.
Sometimes.
I wanted Bloody Moon, and for some reason, Bloody Moon, everything else was $15. Bloody Moon was freaking $20, and I thought we'd just look around and we end up getting more, but anyway.
I got screwballs.
Yeah, and fireballs.
Yeah, but I have a fireball.
But earlier today we watched a movie, a documentary by Roger Ebert.
I will say that was a very interesting documentary, and I learned more about Roger Ebert.
Life itself.
Than I could ever learn anywhere else. But by the end of it, I think we shut it off with about 5 minutes to go because it just got truly depressing by the end. Because they were talking about the death of his partner on the review show, Gene Siskel. And then they were talking about his eventual death, and I was like, oh, I can't take it anymore. So
yeah, I mean, they
both pretty much died of cancer. Gene Siskel died of brain cancer. And Roger,
I think he died of pneumonia.
Gene Siskel did?
No.
Roger Ebert?
Because he went back in the hospital.
Well, he started out, he had thyroid cancer, didn't he?
Yeah, and it went to his, he had stuff in his
went
spine.
Went to his spine.
Into his jawbone.
And then it went to his spine.
But yeah, it was sad, and then they would go. They're basically showing the funeral, and we really,
we couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, I mean that was, and plus when they show him, he's got no jawbone, and then basically his lower half of his face is not even attached to his neck any longer. It's just hanging out there.
Yeah, it was.
It's just weird. And I was like, well, why did they do that? I mean, I know they have to. He can't eat anymore, so they have to feed him.
But they couldn't do any kind of prosthesis stuff that would make that look better.
I don't know. But I would have, I mean, he, you know.
But early on in his illness, he was really upbeat and joking with people.
Well, I mean, I don't know how long. I mean, he was still doing that until he got back in there after he got pneumonia at the end, and then he just like basically said it's too much for him to keep fighting on.
Yeah, he didn't want to fight it anymore. But his wife said back in 2006, even the doctors talked like he wouldn't live very long, and he lived, you know, way longer than they thought.
Six or seven years, but it's a good documentary,
I'd recommend it.
But yeah, it's pretty sad at the end, which I would imagine it would be if someone's dying. Mm-hmm. Then we got some stuff in the mail. I got Dana
Butcher Baker
Nightmare Maker.
Night Warning, I think is the other title.
I got the Code Red 6 movies on 2 discs.
Exploitational.
I think one of them's a porn kind of.
Porn, exploitation, whatever.
But anyway, then when I was looking around for something to watch, and I thought about it, and I said, I want to watch this movie called Link from 1986. And it was, what's his name? Richard Franklin.
Richard Franklin.
Who made the original.
And Elizabeth Shue's in it.
Made the original Patrick. And this was filmed in Australia, obviously. And, Link is Terrence Stamp is like a, I assume he's a college professor.
Research scientist.
Yeah, he's researching about ape intelligence, I would assume. And Elizabeth Shue is a student, and she was trying to, kind of...
She was going to do her thesis.
I think she was wanting to volunteer for something, and it was she found out it was just for sperm, so she didn't get no sperm. So she kind of became a research assistant, and she went to his castle on the hill, basically.
Pretty much.
And she's greeted by Link, who's a orangutan dressed up like a butler.
Who, in some ways, it reminds me of Clyde on the Any Which Way But Loose. And
yeah. Those types of Except he's not orange. He's dark-colored.
Yeah, but he's still an orangutan. And there's chimp. There's a couple of chimps, Imp and Voodoo.
Yeah. And let's just say the doctor, something happens to the doctor. And
he disappears.
Yeah. And then it's just Elizabeth Shue and Link. And Link is just crazy. He's like the most, honestly, he's not.
He doesn't appear to be threatening.
No, they try to make him threatening, but it's just so hard to do with that face.
And he does this thing where he holds out his hand.
The doctor said whatever he does, he gave her some rules and said you have to forgive them if they ask for it. And there's one time when she's running and she's trying to go to town or something.
And this dog gets up.
Well, Link is following her and this mean dog is like viciously chases her up a fence. And Link gets a hold of the dog and just like tosses him and beats his head into the fence.
That's
and then
awful.
Then he raises his hand to say, forgive.
I killed that dog. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Then he gets off one of those stupid smiles with those big weird teeth. It is
and
so
Steve
funny.
And I were dying.
And then he's like, he's showing him growling and stuff, and it sounds like almost like a lion. And it's not, I cannot.
But you're not. It's not like watching Monkey Shines. Monkey Shines, that monkey seemed a lot more threatening.
Well, even Chacma, which is the scariest fucking monkeys ever, is baboons.
Well, yeah.
With those red asses and those big ass teeth.
And screaming at you.
And Chacma hates doors.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hard to...
And it's got that crazy music
That's what I was thinking. It's got like a circusy music soundtrack.
It's like, how can you be frightened at all watching this movie?
And she'll be scared or something, and they'll show a Link in his little beady eyes like, huh?
And they move around.
Yeah, it's like a dog when you're talking to a dog and he's like looking around like, what?
And she'll ask him, did you do that or something? And his eyes will move back and forth.
And then there's a good scene where he wants her to cook the phone.
Yeah, and he ends up putting it in the microwave.
So, I would highly recommend Link because it's a pretty funny movie. I mean, I can't say, and I do like the style of Richard Franklin.
It definitely is different than any other killer monkey movies.
Yeah, and I would have to say that he had to have known this is kind of like a dark comedy. In a way, but you would know that from the trailer. The trailer makes act like it's going to be some kind of like rabid killer animal movie.
Well, they probably just showed scenes of him running and in his mouth.
No, I don't think they showed anything. They showed like a camera moving kind of stuff, POV. So it didn't show the monkey at all. I think.
I mean, some people were kind of pissed when they watched this.
I don't know. I mean, if you thought it was one thing, but it's pretty funny and entertaining. But
Steve and I laughed a lot.
Right. So it's pretty much a calm 4th of July for the most part. But
except for last night, it was a little crazy last night. And I had to work today, so.
Yeah. So. We'll be back next time, and we'll be watching some Cannibal Holocaust and Bloody Moon. And
maybe Steve will watch my Witchboard Blu-ray. And
Butcher Baker.
Yeah, we'll watch Butcher Baker. Not
Dildo Maker.
No, that's not what it is, Steve. Steve makes his own tiles.
Yep.
And he's picking his toes.
Shh. So, we'll be back next time here on... Two against something or other.
Well, it'll be two against whatever.
Two against Bloody Moon Nightmare Maker.
Okay, Bloody Moon Butcher.
Butcher Maker.
Yeah.
milkshake maker.
I did make milkshakes.
So we'll be back next time. Bye. He came out of the apples and they left her in the dice that night.
I'm out of here!